Two questions that I have for us this morning is, number one, when did JP's voice get so deep? And then, number two, what's your favorite food at Thanksgiving? Mine is actually a dessert. It's my mom's homemade chocolate strata pie. And in case you've never had a chocolate strata pie, it's like this homemade flaky crust. And then there's this layer of hard, dark chocolate that goes along top of the crust. And then there's this fluffy goodness. And then there's cinnamon and dark chocolate sprinkled on top of it. And it really is amazing. And so we hosted Thanksgiving this year. It's first time in 20 years of marriage. We hosted. And so my parents came down, and my younger brother from Louisville, and Karen's parents here, and her sister in Lexington, and we also had some of our Friendspeak readers over. And so there were 16 of us at the Kaufman House, and we ate at 1:30, and I woke up thinking about that chocolate strata pie. And so Mimi and Pawpaw, my parents, pull in from Louisville about 1 o'clock, and JP and I head out there to help them because they've made, not only had they made the chocolate strata pie, but, you know, two or three other side items that, you know, we're going to help them bring in. And my parents got out of the car, and they were just nearly in tears to break the news to me that they forgot the pie. As they were running around the house and getting this and getting that, you have to keep the chocolate strata pie in the freezer, and so they just went off and left it. So just to let you know kind of what was going on inside of me at that moment, there was like this weird mixture of disappointment that started turning into maybe anger and resentment. I don't know. I was just kind of this weird feelings going on. I mean, the response that I wanted to make to this news was like something like I had seen on movies where like somebody just slowly drops to their knees and they say, "No!" And just kind of hold that. That's what was going on inside of me. I didn't know how I was going to respond. I was getting ready to say something, not exactly sure, but JP, who's a much better human being than me, beat me to it, and he said, "That's okay, Mimi and Pawpaw. The most important thing is you're here." who replaced my son with Mr. Rogers? That's not, I needed just a minute to mourn the loss of my pie. Yet, his words captured my message, my short message this morning, with this emphasis on missions today, and that's this: the most important thing is you're here. I loved hearing the stories about our people at Southside visiting our different mission points, and a big thanks to Keith and Alvin and all those that helped make that presentation happen this morning. You know, when we send an individual or a group of our members to one of our mission points, occasionally someone asks the question, and it goes something like this: would it just be better to send money versus sending our people? And it's not a bad question to consider. When I was at UGA, I would take a group of college students to the Fiji Islands in the summer, and I did that for 6 summers. And there was an elder at the church there who asked me one time if this is really what we needed to do with our money. And it wasn't because he was against missions, it was just because he would do the math in his head, right? We were sending groups of about 15 times about $1,500 a person times 6 summers, and he would just think, wow, that's a lot of money. Perhaps it'd be better if we just would send it versus sending our people. I've thought about that question a lot through the years, and Christmas has helped shape the way that I answer it. And here's what I mean. With the birth of Jesus, the physical presence of God came into our world. Or as Eugene Peterson writes in The Message about John 1:14, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Now, the theological term for this is the incarnation of God. And I cannot stress the incarnation of God enough and how much that it has shaped and influenced the way I do ministry and the way I think about missions. It's quite literally changed everything. The Christmas gift of God's physical presence has taught me to place a high value on physical presence. It has shaped the way that I think about the role of physical presence in missions and ministry. I think that it's critical and crucial to effective ministry. The incarnation has taught me about the power of the ministry of presence. I have found when I visit someone in a ministry or a mission setting, when I visit someone who may be hurting or in need, whatever, when I interact with someone, they rarely remember what I say to them. They never remember what I might give to them, but they always remember that I was there. As I mentioned earlier, we would take these groups down to Fiji, and Fiji's not close. I don't know if you've ever been, but we would go and have evangelistic Bible studies there. We rented an office space downtown, and then me and about 14 college students, we'd head out into the streets, and we just would pass out invitations to study the Bible, and man, people would come, believe it or not. People showed up, and it was awesome, and it was just this really fruitful time in my life of evangelism. And I got to where I would love to start those Bible studies. As I sat down with someone, I had a map in my Bible, and I'd pull it out, and I'd show them where Athens, Georgia was, where I was living at the time, and then they'd find Suva, Fiji on this map, and we would just talk about this distance, the distance between us. It's about 8,000 miles. It is 16 time zones. If you've done any traveling, what they say is if for every time zone you travel across, it takes that same number of days for your body to kind of recalibrate itself. And so 16 time zones is a lot, and we were there for 2.5 to 3 weeks. So by the time our body recalibrated, we were leaving. But it takes 29 hours. We also crossed the international dateline. I don't know if you've ever done any traveling where you cross over the international dateline. That adds a whole nother piece to it. But at the time I was making those trips, I had a pregnant wife at home, had little babies running around, and that just added a whole nother layer. But I always liked pulling that map out and asking this person that sat across from me with this Bible opened, why would someone do this? What would motivate someone to go from here to here to sit down across a table with you and open up this Bible? And the answer to that question is that it's the same motivation, it's the same reason that God came into the world as a baby. Because he wants to physically be present with you. He wants to be with you face to face. Man, that'll change your life if you allow the reality and the truth of that to really sink into your heart. That God came into the world through Jesus Christ so that he could be with you face to face. Jesus is the one who's opened up that reality for us. And that's really shaped the truth of the incarnation has really shaped the way I think about missions. And that's why I love the way Southside does missions. It's very important for Southside to send our people to these mission points. It's not enough to send money. It's not enough just to connect with them on social media. It's not enough to pray for them. We want to show up in the flesh. We want to be present with them face to face because we follow a God who came into the world to be present with us face to face. I want to share just a couple of verses from Revelation 21, 1 through 5, and then conclude with this. This is from Revelation's chapter before, the last chapter of the Bible, so this is the end of time that John the Revelator is writing about. And here's what he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" What I love about this is that this image of the end time is the same thing that what we look forward to happening at the end is the same thing that we celebrate at Christmas, is the coming of God into our midst. See, what this image in Revelation paints is not so much us flying away, as we sang about earlier, to God, but God coming down fully to be with us. Just as Jesus has come into the earth, and we celebrate that here at Christmas, to be with us face to face, to be physically present with us. There's a time coming when the new heaven and the new earth will come, and God will say, "Now my dwelling is with men, and I will live with them. They will be my people, and I will be their God." We look forward to that time, and we live out the beauty and the reality of the incarnation in our missions and in our ministry. I make mistakes. Karen would probably tell you otherwise, but I just full disclosure, I make a lot of mistakes, and I like to fess up when I make mistakes. And I made a mistake one time. Amanda Jones, who was our children's minister for a number of years and a really good friend of ours, is now down in Bowling Green. This is actually prior to us living in Lexington. We also worked with a church in Athens together. We had some really, really sweet friends of ours, sweet family, who were doing mission work in Uganda. And they were there on a 5-year commitment. Mark and Lori Manry, just sweet friends of both Kaufman's and Amanda. And Amanda had saved up some money, and she was trying to decide between whether she should just send this money to Mark and Lori or whether she should use the money to buy a ticket and go be with them. And Mark and Lori were really struggling financially, and so I knew that about them and their support. And so as I thought about it, and I just told Amanda, I think you should send it. I think this money that you've saved, I think you should send it to them. And so that's what she did. She did that. Just a year or two ago, Amanda and the Kaufmans and the Manrys were all together. The Manrys now live up in Michigan, where Mark does work with the Rochester College there. And we were all sitting together one night, and Amanda brought that up. And about how she'd always kind of thought, did she make the right decision, or what should she have done? And she brought that decision up. And the Manry said they would have much rather her come to be with them versus having sent the money. And so I got ragged a little bit that night about my wisdom that I had shared with Amanda as she was making that decision. But this is a note that I made to myself, and this is just the way my mind works. And so you're going to have to deal with it. I'm kind of corny. Little things make sense to me, help me remember things. But this was a note that I made that night. Wrote it down. I said, the Manrys would have much rather had Amanda's physical presence than her fiscal present. Made that little note. I'm gonna put my hat. I'm gonna hang my hat on that, because I've heard it, experienced it, and I've seen it to be true, time and time again. The greatest Christmas gift is not fiscal presence; it's physical presence. In the words of JP, the most important thing is you're here. The gift of physical presence. And I think it's the greatest gift you can give someone this Christmas. I think that's what we learn from the incarnation. That's what we look forward to one day in Revelation 21. So just my practical encouragement to you this Christmas season is to not just send a card. Don't just send money. Don't just send somebody a post or a tweet on social media. Send yourself. Stop by and visit. Give somebody a hug. Remind them at Christmas time, God came into the world to be present with them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church family. Thank you for our missions here that just makes it a real point of emphasis to send our people. I'm just so thankful for that. I'm thankful, God, that you chose to come be with us physically. The reality of that and the influence and the impact of that is just too much to praise you for and think about. But we're thankful. We're thankful that you chose to come in the flesh. We're thankful and look forward to one day, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that we get to be with you face to face. That's a very physical relationship. And so we look forward to that. We're just thankful, Father, that for this time of year, and we're thankful, and I just pray your encouragement upon each of us to be present, to be present. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing a song of invitation. If there's any need that you might have this morning, you want to come forward and put your faith in Christ this morning and baptism, I'd love to be a part of that. Let's stand together and sing.